pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
To the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Dale Jackson coming up in about 30 minutes. You want to stick around for that. Still to come, also, Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poor Show. So looking forward to that discussion. Let's see here. Recapping the news here. It's just a lot of Iran. Soccer. You don't have to talk about soccer for another 4 years, I guess. Maybe it will be something we deal with in the Olympics or something. I don't know. The Spanish beat the Argentinians 1-0, 1-0. And I don't know what that means other than Spain. That's not even a good war, is it? I guess we didn't see any riots in the streets. And culturally, the one big takeaway is all these foreigners who came to the United States for soccer came away, generally speaking, with a very positive view of the United States. I would assume in a lot of countries, I think this is the greatest country on the planet, regardless of our politics, regardless of things we disagree with. If you live in some of these countries abroad, you're probably taught how bad the United States is. And in particular, the American South. And it turns out a lot of the stuff they've been peddled for decades is fiction. So maybe that's one positive aspect of this that we can hang our hats on. You have people from all over the world who came, and this seems to be more of a phenomenon that is more widespread across the country. When you have like another global event like the Olympics or whatever, it's generally one place. So I guess the LA Olympics are next. Again. Let's see. Text line 251-343-0106. Unnamed texter. Where is the groundswell of non-support for data centers coming from? You're curious to me is where the funding is coming from to advance the issue. I don't think you need a lot of funding just to create a stir. I think these are easy stories for reporters to do. And that's probably a lot of it. I mean, just like if you're the local TV station, it's easy to get one or two malcontents to oppose it and go out and pick it and get that sort of generates a groundswell. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and the things that like trigger people to the extent that they're willing to take time out of their busy days or busy lives and go and protest something. I don't think it's like it. I generally think these anti-data center movements are grassroots. I don't think the communist Chinese are paying off people, but I do think some of the talking points and some of the things, I mean, it's possible they've infiltrated our political system, especially the way people are so engaged on social media that there's a lot of, I mean, it's you're able to kind of steer public opinion on social media abroad eat more easily than you are any other kind of political forum or whatever. And maybe that's some of it. It's interesting. The big data is being used against big data. But it just kind of spread like a wildfire in certain places. It's the most important issue to some people. Unnamed texter, ask what the purpose of data is. By definition, it is to control a subject, mass surveillance state. You both are not reflective of conservatism values when it comes to this issue. By the way, Northern Virginia has been decimated by these dystopian monstrosities. Municipalities and small communities are being taken advantage of, and Mrs. Fiddler is incorrect here. Mass surveillance state. What proof do you have? It's a voluntary, when you use it, it's a voluntary thing. You don't have to, you could get off the so-called information grid if you so choose and not text this show and not use AI. It's going to make your life a little harder. This is the fear here that artificial intelligence is going to make some parts of our life obsolete. Perhaps it will. But we always find the next thing. We always go on to the next thing. And are generally speaking, with advances in technology, your life improves. The quality of life improves. There's pros and cons to everything. But if we look at where you were, say, 30 years ago, if we're having this conversation, it's 1996 over the airwaves. You're not texting into the program, probably. You're getting your news from a newspaper. Maybe you're watching cable news. You're certainly doing it over the old coaxial cable. Maybe it's a digital signal. But now you can watch just about anything you want from your house. There's a lot of things that you are benefiting out of technology. And yes, a lot of newspaper reporters have lost their jobs. But in some ways, your life's improved. The quality of life has gotten better. Thanks for bringing up surveillance and AI data centers to the representative. Pretty sad that all she cared about was ChatGPT and how great it is. She's just passing along an element in her personal life that's applicable to a lot of people. You may not use ChatGPT, but you got to think about it. How is this technology available to us? Killer bees. When told Americans didn't want more government intrusion from data centers, Jennifer Fiddler said, well, she's a state lawmaker. She's not a federal lawmaker. How many of you use the Postal Service? How many of you still write checks? Used ATM? Do you just use cash? Do you get your paycheck? You don't direct deposit it, and you just get your paycheck. You go to the bank, get cash. And so much of our life is electronic right now. Mike asks, I'm starting to wonder if the ChatGPT is actually using everyone's data to seed the clouds. That's probably how these data centers are raising the temperature by 20 degrees and making the livestock and frogs infertile by turning everything gay with polluted data clouds. There's just a lot of, there's a balance here. It's yes data center, no data center. We're not going to, now at one point in Alabama, we gave them everything. We gave them the infrastructure. We were excited to have a data center. The one I think of, it's been about 10 years. Google really did the first big data center. And it was in North Alabama. And it was sold to a lot of us in the press as a very positive thing for the economy. Since then, we have backed off of that. So I think it's a seller's market right now. If you want to come and put a data center here, then we don't need to be giving incentives away like the city of Birmingham has. We need to get something out of it at a minimum. Tim, Jeff, if people are worried about being tracked, that's already happening. Squirrel Vereen, let's talk about your innate Fairhope leadership. They are stalling on the approval of cell phone towers, sensitive about protecting the aesthetics. Meanwhile, they aren't bothered by loud gas-powered leaf blowers running at 6 a.m. That's true. I think it's the aesthetics and the cell towers, and there's just a crunch on – there's certain places in Fairhope where there's no signal, especially if you go inside certain buildings. But maybe that's just how they're playing it, trying to get something out of it. Jason, good morning, Jeff. When you hear politicians talk about bringing additional revenue, how does this benefit me, and how did the rotor ever fall for this lie? The day they show me where one of these projects lowers my taxes, maybe my opinion would change. Adding more traffic and congestion to our roads is not a plus for anyone. Yeah, it's just we generate more tax revenue and you get more goodness of government. And then we get, like, back pats and head pats for tolerating the burden on our roads and bridges, our schools. No, the growth crowd, they talk about jobs. The problem is a lot of these quote-unquote jobs are, you know, people who are here already aren't necessarily signing up for them. It's not like it was in the 90s with Mercedes-Benz. And that just totally changed that part of the state. It was kind of like coming out of the deindustrialization, the NAFTA people, that we did it in a way. It took, like, I guess what used to be an area of the state where, I mean, coal mining and other heavy industrial jobs were going away, and we were assembling automobiles. But what you find now, it's different. The Mazda Toyota plant, for example, in Huntsville, or the Toyota engine plant, it's people moving here from other places. So, like, the magic solution here is to, if you're going to do this, create jobs that are created for people here already. And is that something that's even possible? You have a very low labor participation rate relative to the rest of the country. So you bring in a bunch of new workers, and that helps it, but it doesn't take that problem away where you have able-bodied adults who just aren't willing to go to work, despite all of the incentives you give away to build manufacturing here. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Probably always will. And on the old town square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair. Back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Dale Jackson coming up in the next segment, so stick around for that. We'll keep rolling here. We got a lot of text. I got to go back here with Derek. Derek, very vocal this morning. It's time to put this geriatric comment out to pasture. As a parent who homeschools his child, we have to avoid all of this, how bad it is. So let me get this straight. I can opt out of the entire system they built. The entire system built so you can't. The fourth cattle gate is closing in. You could, theoretically, could get rid of your cell phone. And I'm just saying, you could. I think our life has improved with the technological advances. And, I'm sorry. We could go back to the bare minimum, no indoor plumbing and, horse and buggy or whatever. I just don't think the system is the majority of people who operate within the system would agree to that. The system is what the system is because of economics, because of politics, etc. Speaking, Tyler, of European football, otherwise known as soccer or sour, I've been meaning to say everyone everywhere that it is a lame sport and I'm glad it's over. I feel like some of the pro soccer people, some are very into it. I feel like a lot of these guys are, it's just the in thing. It's the hip thing to be a part of. It's a way of showing that you're more sophisticated than the typical meathead football fan or whatever, that you're into this bougie sport. And since the Europeans and other places around the world are into it, they're more, it's like a pseudo-intellectualism surrounding it that bothers me. Mr. Doug, I'm glad you're educated on data centers and helping to inform your listeners. I'm not educated. What I don't get is just like, it's one thing to be against it, but this is a very strong opposition to it. Fire Dog writes, as stated on the morning show, we could have either these under control or they're going to be in As I stated earlier in the show, we could either have these under our control or they're going to be in a country by China. Do we really want that? I mean, it's true. Americans, we love our technologies. We love our, what's available at a click. And you may have some issues with it. You may not like it. But a lot of people do. And there's going to be a marketplace for it. And these data centers are a response to that demand. So, the balance is that you may be one of a few, but there are many who don't care. Toothless Bamber, you're right, Jeff. We move on to something else. Remember the GM commercial years back? Some of the dialogue was, we aren't like some countries that take 3-hour lunch breaks. We went to the moon. What happens? What happened? We got bored. I don't remember that commercial, but I do. We aren't some other countries, but we do other things. The economy changes, and that production capacity will be there in some aspect. You just, my thinking is that we as Americans need to learn to use this new technology better than our global peers, if you will, and be more productive. Sean, try that in a small town, Jeff. Thank you, Jason Aldean. 251-343-0106, Dale Jackson on the way. Stay tuned. This is a Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Gone by the wind. There ain't no
again. Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. that didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you need to get in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Joining us now on the line from WVNN up in Huntsville, Alabama, our good friend Dale Jackson is with us. Dale, good morning. How are you?
Argentina won the World Cup. So very exciting. What a great game.
Yeah, well, I guess I needed to watch that. I actually
missed out.
I turned it on, and then it was 0-0, and I immediately lost interest.
My wife's like, oh, my God, this game's terrible. And I'm like, are you kidding me? There's been like 20 saves here. And she's like, it's better when little kids are playing it. And I'm like, I guess so. I don't know. But it was great. It was great.
I agree with Cindy.
Yeah. I enjoy when little kids play it, too.
I am ready to not care about soccer for 4 more years.
Well, I have to care about soccer all the time because my kid's into it. And I coach it. And I text the other coach, and I said, I don't know what's going on here. We're in big trouble because we're moving up to the big goals and the actual rules, and we've got problems. I'll just say that much. I think they just make that stuff up as they go along, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I mean, it's just like the time is kind of a concept. You don't know.
The time's a concept. The, like, a guy scores a goal and everyone's like, that didn't count. And then, like, automatically on the field, they know it. Like, the players themselves, they're just like, yeah, we know that didn't count.
Well, like, it's a little like hockey, too. Like, yeah, I've given all these sports a try, and I don't know.
Yeah, what is icing? I think icing and offside are made up.
Yeah, they just, everybody knows what they are. I guess they say the same thing about football, basketball, and baseball.
Maybe that's fair. Maybe that's a little fair. Anyway, it was enjoyable. The World Cup is now over. I think it's been a massive success. Go America, I guess.
Well, I will do this all over again. We'll virtue signal about how much we love soccer, and then we'll forget about it for 4 years.
Probably so. That's probably correct.
Well, let me ask you this. Your take on, we talked about this last week and you were unaware, but now it's had a week to fester. The thing people, I guess, like Tabitha Eisner talking about voting in a Republican primary coming up here in a few weeks is just, she's doing the cause for closed primaries a bigger favor than she's doing for her own party.
You are correct. But you're wrong about what the biggest, dumbest thing she's done is. I wish our media was not terrible. And I know you live down the street from like half those guys. But you should probably go knock on their doors and remind them that she also said, hey, I wrote a check to Joe Reed. And he deposited it. And it didn't go anywhere near his actual political action committee he runs. You know, isn't that a story?
And I saw the Yellowhammer piece about it. When I saw when she did it, I was like, well, but it's kind of old news because I know at the time, and I was still at Yellowhammer when this was Mallory Hagan, too. They talked about having to write checks to Joe Reed. And the question was always like, how is that not a political action committee, what he's doing? This came up. And there's always been a question.
Right. And here's the thing. She said it never got claimed by the campaign, but the check got cashed.
Well, they never filed.
Never got claimed by the PA, by the PAC.
Right, right.
Yeah, maybe Steve Marshall can go out on a high note and take down Joe Reed.
Do the rules for a PAC like that, that's not a federal PAC, how does this work?
I don't know. I can't imagine taking the money and putting it in your pocket.
We don't know that he did that either.
That's her assertion because he didn't claim it.
That's her assertion. But, you know, who knows what the balance sheet for the ADC is? I bet it's a mess. But I bet there's a lot of self-enrichment there. But, I don't know. We got to be careful calling out criminal activities here. Well, we don't, but in general, it's a good practice. But, that entity exists, and they sort of extort Democrat candidates, and some play ball. Shabari Figures, Doug Jones. No, they don't all. They don't all because they can't afford it because Democrats don't raise a lot of money in Alabama. but the successful ones. I imagine Terry Sewell does too. That's what happens. They just you got to pay off Joe Reed. You know, it's part. That's what Arthur Davis. Do you remember him?
Yep.
That he did not pay off Joe Reed, and he got clobbered in a Democrat primary against Ron Sparks.
How'd that go for Ron Sparks?
Well, he got to go hang out for 6 months on a campaign trail.
And then he got a job with Bentley.
Yeah. So.
So it worked out okay. All right.
Maybe just like change parties, just be a Republican.
I asked him straight up. I said, "What are you doing still hanging out with these losers?"
Yeah.
And he basically said, "Look, this is the best ticket we've ever had." And I said, "Well." Okay. And
that's not good if that's the best you can do.
All right, because as of right now, the ticket is essentially Doug Jones and that guy who used to be ag commissioner. I mean, that's it. Not to say Ron Sparks isn't a good candidate.
Philip Insler, kind of. He's in the state legislature.
Philip Insler has some issues that the radical Democrats aren't going to like too well.
True. We haven't had that discussion, have we? Radical Democrats in Alabama, maybe you can get by with it here.
Okay, so just to be clear here, and I want to make sure I understand this, because this sounds a little odd to me, but I'm willing to buy into your theory here. The Democrats in Alabama are okay with running Jews, but they're not okay elsewhere.
Right. Is that right? Yes.
Okay. Who would have thought
and like Insler's, he's like a pro-Israel guy.
Yeah. I'm just saying, who would have saw that coming? I just absolutely no one.
That is, it took me a second to get the irony there. Once upon a time, Democrats used to demagogue against those of the Jewish faith. Yes.
Anti-Semitism, too. They used to always try to make a big deal about anti-Semitism. Now they're like, oh, no, we'll make a big deal about it by doing it. we'll make a big deal about it by being anti-Semitic. It'll be amazing.
I don't know, during the civil rights era, though, that was the culprit, right? The Jews.
All I'm saying is this. This is my point. I'm not saying anyone should do this, but let's go back, I don't know, 40 years, and let's say Democrats started making some inroads here. You could very easily see a situation where someone, I don't know who, might be like, hey, you know that guy's one of those little small hat guys. They wear a little tiny, if you know what I'm saying, the little tiny hat. They go to the place on Saturday. Those guys, you might want to, the money guys. You know, I can definitely see them doing that and running that against him. Right, Republicans doing it too. I'm just saying, starting that whisper campaign in the Democratic Party, I could definitely see that happen.
Well, it's like, I'll say this, and I like anti-Semitism in Alabama, I've never understood, because you just don't have that many Jews in Alabama, right?
Well, I mean, in Dothan, weren't they trying to recruit down there? They were spending money like saying, hey, if you come here, we'll give you a house. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was not too long ago.
No, but like,
I thought about converting.
When you were in Bradenton, Florida growing up, I mean, how many Jewish kids did you know?
Well, what are we, doxing here? What's going on? No, I knew a few. I knew a few, not many.
I didn't know any in Pelham, Alabama, in Shelby County growing up.
I know more now, I'll be honest with you. I mean, so you're starting to see a few coming to the South, as you're seeing lots of people from the North come to the South, even though CNBC said this is the worst place to live ever.
But this, the point correct. I'm trying to make about it is, like, that Alabama's this bastion of anti-Semitism, and it's just not true, because no one interacts with those with Jews, Orthodox or whatever, ethnic Jews. They just, it's like a made up thing. It's like the sundown town or whatever. You know, it's, there's this mythology about the state. And no, I'm telling you, having lived in Washington, D.C. for a while, that's the perception that we sit around the campfire and hate on black people and Jews all the time.
Well, that's probably true. But right now, the American left, they probably don't interact that with too many Jews themselves, and they don't like them. So it's not about the interaction. It's more about Israel. That's what's
right. But, that festers, and then ethnic enclaves and things like that. I mean, there is like real anti-Semitic beliefs among some people. It's more of a global phenomenon, I guess.
Oh, I would agree with that too. And I think a lot of that came from the attempt to imply that everyone in the South was like in the KKK, and that the KKK still had a stronghold down here, and white supremacy and all sorts of other things, just as a way to say, look at those bad guys down there. Look how evil they are. And now, you're basically watching as mainstream Democrats are like, well, hold on one second. Maybe they had something right about those Jew guys. Maybe they were onto something about that, because, man, it's pretty wild how far they're going on the whole AIPAC stuff and everything. And you got guys like Bill Maher. They're like, you guys are crazy. I can't buy in on this. And part of that is the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel nature of their politics.
Yeah, I mean, it's very anti-Israel. And then they would try... Some would try to delineate the two, but the truth is...
Well, it's like trying to delineate communism and socialism. We know what you're doing on both fronts, all right? So let's not pretend.
Yeah, but like if you go to Dearborn, Michigan, or you know any of these Democrat candidates in Michigan, or you talk about Mamdani, or you know, it just comes off as just you know blatant anti-Semitism.
Oh yeah, yeah, and to me again, I reference the communism socialism thing. I mean, they pretty much say it, and then when you call them on it, that's when they want to delineate. And that's when they say, well, no, it's not communism. It's democratic socialism, you see. That's the difference. And everyone goes, yeah, sure thing.
Well, did they give Republicans this benefit of the doubt back in the day? I mean, like, for some reason...
Oh, they don't give the Republicans the benefit of the doubt.
I know. That's, but back in the day when the Tea Party movement was a thing... I mean, there were these like exposés on domestic terrorism and right-wing anti-Semitism and militias and all of that, and they would cherry pick the most kooky thing you could imagine, and you know they try to weaponize it, but there's the goalposts have definitely shifted here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question about it. You got Marco Rubio giving, I think, what was a pretty accurate speech about left-wing violence and terrorism. And everyone's like, no, it's Republicans. They're the ones that are doing all the violence. Look at this. If you go back and look at everything, you've got to see all these dates. Look at all this right-wing terrorism. And I'm like, yeah, but the way you're framing things are either non-political terror or you flame things that are right-wing, left-wing terror. Right-wing terror. It's just ridiculous. Everyone in the world knows what's going on, and they can pretend all they want, but it's the same thing with the push on like, oh, pallet security and all this other stuff. You know, oh, you're how dare you denigrate the sanctity of our elections? You can only question 2000, 2004, 2016, and 2024. Questioning anything else is out of your mind. And by the way, Trump's going to steal the midterms.
Jordan. I
mean, that's what they're saying. And it's just like, guys, make up your mind.
Well, this was my next thing. This was my next topic. I have a list here. By the way, we're joined by Dale Jackson from WVNN and Yellowhammer News. The Trump speech last week, and it got no traction on Fox News, and it's all they wanted to talk about on MS Now and CNN. And the odd thing
bad for Republicans.
Well, the odd thing was Fox News showed it in its entirety. CNN and MS Now did not show. Well, either they just showed clips from it, or they joined in and then dropped out.
To pout.
Well, it's like I don't know. Maybe Fox was a little, still shell-shocked from the Dominion lawsuit or something. But they did not talk about it. Like, they ran for that speech.
I think Michael Smirkanish, who's a complete tool, and I on CNN said it best. He's like, look, if you're gonna pick it apart, you need to air it. Okay? You can't not air it and then say, oh, we're going to filter this for you. You can't really do that and expect people to trust you except the people who are already in love with you. And he's saying this from their network. Now, granted, I'm sure he was given the permission and all this other stuff. I get it. But at the same time, it's rather wild to see sort of like someone from inside the house calling that out, because that's exactly right. If you're gonna run it down and make it your top story, you should have let your people see it.
But it's like, what is this thing you're speaking of that was so bad and such a threat to our democracy that and we didn't show it, but we're gonna spend 75% of our broadcast day the next day keenly just laser focused on it.
Yeah, we didn't show it, but it's super bad, guys. Trust us.
It's a Streisand effect.
Yeah, yeah. And the reality is Trump is correct. There are a lot of bad actors in our political system, and there are some questions about validity of elections. I wish he would have focused on particular things like the multi-scan ballots and things like that, but he didn't really do that. So everything kind of falls by the wayside without the, you know, the bullet to the head on this beast. Instead, it sounds like he's just out there complaining and crying because that's how they prefaced it.
Yeah. Well, but you know, people didn't even see it. That is the way that's going to be the takeaway. That's it. They're not going to watch it. They're not going to read the transcript. They're just going to take Rachel Maddow and Andrew Weissman's word for it. It was an effort to stop the midterm elections because he's going to lose.
Yep, that's exactly how they tried to frame it. And I'll be honest with you, they did a good job with that. And you can't knock them because they were super successful in what they were trying to do. So kudos to them.
Trump shouldn't have given the speech.
He shouldn't have given the speech. There was no reason to do it.
The other thing is, like, we will go live for a January 6th committee meeting or whatever. I know what the media does, but on this one, you got to call them out on it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, look, and he's not wrong. All the things he talked about exist. All that stuff is real. And it's, you know, he's right about this. It's time that we have a voter ID. It's time that we do the right thing on this stuff. Yes, all of that's true. But, you know, Trump is not the messenger for this issue. And yes, he's
what do you do? You put Marco Rubio out there? I mean, I don't know. What do you do?
Well, I mean, look, Trump's already been whining about and crying about, and again, sometimes correctly, about the elections for years, and he's been doing it, and he's been making that case, and he comes off as a bit of a sore loser. And in this particular case, he's complaining about an election he won in some ways in Georgia, and you're looking at all the stuff that he does, and it's just kind of weird. And I don't know. He was run, not that he'd won, excuse me, that he was over. And yes, I understand the issue that I think is the bigger one is the shadow government and stuff like that. But if that's true, which I'm giving the benefit of the doubt here, go arrest that woman. Like, I mean, that's like, let's have some penalties for these things you say are happening, and let's go out and make it happen.
Well, I think, you know, you needed, it was all just this idea that we needed to expose the public to it. And this White House has a messaging problem. The media, the social media thing worked for him for a long time, but it's so saturated, right? And the media now, he lost Fox News, and that was the key thing. The very key thing was, You had to bring a couple of dance partners with you, and these guys are just terrified of this topic, so they're not going to give him any cover. And then maybe that should have been a discussion had with Sean Hannity or somebody before giving this.
Mm-hmm. And again, are you going to charge somebody or what? Or are we just complaining about it?
Are you going to do something to China, who you claim? I mean, are we still going to, you know?
Well, I mean, you saw the argument they're making, right? The reason I'm doing something with China is because China's the one that gave them all the information.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, again, I look at it and I want there to be a bigger story. But, I mean, dude, you have no problem saying, and man, put me on a mess now. I think I can make a good argument here. But you have no problem saying arrest this person, charge this person, do this, do that. You have no problem doing that. So why aren't you doing that now?
Yeah, well, fair enough. Dale, folks want to find you online. How can they do so?
Gelheimer, now you can see my videos everywhere on all my social media at The Dale Jackson or on Gelheimer News, gelheimernews.com, and on all social media. Did I say that? At The Dale Jackson, I think I did.
You did. All right, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Things I can't change, and the time that I borrow can wait till tomorrow, because I ain't in no hurry today. Listen. Hello, Kansas. We feel farmer. Let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line. Hello, West Virginia coal miner. Let me thank you for your time. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning, 251-343. 0106. You need to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is hit us up there, and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. So to come, Parker Griffith, that's in the next hour, about 45 minutes or so. He is the official Democrat response of the Jeff Porter Show. Sorry that I put him at the end of the program, because I know he always generates a lot of response, but a sort of way we had to schedule it today. Once again, 251-343-0106. We get to your text on the other side. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5.
I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried.